What's up, sisters and friends? Happy Monday, everybody. I have a feeling this episode is gonna get a lot more than just sisters on it. I have a feeling everybody's gonna wanna listen to this episode because my mom and I are actually gonna cover a big topic. So we get this question literally all the time. We'll just casually post pictures of our tattoos and we always get the question, is it really okay for Christians to get tattoos? Or we get not the question and just a lot of rude comments about us having tattoos and isn't that wrong? And, you know, people will just quote Leviticus 19 and be like, you're not supposed to get tattoos if you're a Christian. And so we decided finally to really read the word ourselves and really dive into like, what does God actually say about this? What's God's heart towards this? And I've always had like kind of like my answer for that, but now I feel like I'm so rooted and established in the word of God with my answer. And I'm really excited to share that with y'all. My mom and I are gonna talk about our own tattoos and we're gonna talk about our journey with discovering God's heart for this topic. So without further ado, mom, let's tackle the question, is it okay for Christians to get a tattoo? But first, you have tattoos, right?
I do. I have two tattoos. Yes.
Which and I remember that was so crazy. I thought it was so crazy when you got your first tattoo.
One. Yeah. I got my first. It's a W on my finger. And it was so funny because like I literally went to the tattoo parlor at like 11 in the morning, which apparently people don't get tattoos at 11 in the morning because it wasn't even open. No one was even there. Gosh. And I would just like went up there and no one's there. So the guy just pulls up and he's like, we don't open till like noon. Can you come back later? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I come back at noon. He's like, I'm not quite ready yet. I'm like, okay, it's fine. But I got a W on my finger, was my very first tattoo. And I'm excited about doing this because it is the thing. It's so interesting. Like whenever we post, which I don't like post about my tattoo a lot,
but it's in it.
It's in our picture because, and so people do notice and comment, but I did do a post about the last tattoo I got because we got tattoos together in Norway.
We both have little waves.
Yes. And Denmark, does he Norway? In Copenhagen. Yeah.
We went to Norway and then we were going to do it in Norway.
That's right.
We didn't ever find a place and it didn't work out. Then we went to Denmark. And it was so fun.
It was so fun. We all got them together. So since we all did it together, I did post specifically about the tattoo. And I wrote, you know, just kind of the reason why and what the tattoo means to me and everything. And it got so many comments. And most of them were, of course, beautiful and gracious and all that. But there were a lot of people that, you know, some were hateful or mean. But most of them really, a lot of them were really just questioning, like, I've always been told as a Christian, you can't get a tattoo. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, what do you believe about that? And why do you think it's okay? And so, you know, some people are like, oh, you don't have to address the haters. And it's not, and I think in this, it's like, we're not talking about the haters. Like, we're talking to people who really genuinely have that question and want to know, like, why? Because there's a scripture in the Bible that people always reference as Leviticus 19 as to why Christians shouldn't get tattoos. Yeah. So I think it's really important for us have the conversation. It's not just like ignoring this and like, oh, we have it, whatever.
Yeah.
It's actually saying like, okay, let's study the scripture and why do we believe it's okay.
Which is so important for any question that you have. If you have a question, like the best thing is to go to the scripture. And especially if there is a scripture on a topic that you don't understand, to gain more understanding behind it. And to some of you people that are listening to this, maybe you're not a Christian, you didn't grow up in a religious home or a religious background, and you're like, what? This is crazy. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting tattoos. And maybe this can just help, you know, widen your understanding for maybe why you've heard people say that before, or maybe why people have had a reaction before. And I think it is really important too to talk about this because I think in some religious homes, you know, it was like, you're not supposed to get a tattoo because it's biblically wrong. And then a lot of times I think it's just mixed in with people's preference. Like people just don't like tattoos. The older generation just doesn't like them.
Uh-huh.
And so I do think we need to just go and say, it's okay if you just don't like the look of tattoos.
Right.
But we're really talking about, is it okay to get a tattoo?
Mm-hmm.
So mom, I want you to talk about the wave tattoo that we got because I think this is really cool. Just like the meaning why we got it. And I'll show y'all some of my tattoos and then we'll jump into the question.
Yeah, so the latest tattoo we got, both of us got a wave, and it was so fun to have something that like we did together in that way. But we actually came to the decision together. We were on a beach trip and we were going through something difficult as a family at the time. And I was in a season that I was like, kind of like asking God, like, you know, like, when are you going to answer this prayer? Like, when is this, this is something that I've been praying about for a long time. And I'm like, not seeing the answer yet. And so like, when am I going to see the answer to this? And it felt like a problem that was really big.
Yeah.
And that was like, okay, like it wasn't solvable on my own. It was something that I know that I can't do. I can't fix. I can't solve.
Yep.
It has to be through the Spirit of God to solve this and to fix this. And so, it was something that we were really praying about. And I read this scripture that's in Jeremiah 5:22. And we happened to be at the beach when I'm reading this scripture.
And it was a rainy day at the beach, so the waves were like huge that
yes.
day. It was, and you were on the like, your room, you know, was mm-hmm. overlooking the ocean. And so mm-hmm. we just got this view all day of the waves being so massive.
I had this little balcony and I had, you know, this view of the water and the waves just kind of crashing in. And so it's in Jeremiah 5 and 5:22, and it says, I made the sand for the sea, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. And I just remember loving it so much. And just because I was thought, just had this visual of like the sand there and the waves, even though these powerful waves are coming in, that God can create this barrier that these waves cannot cross. And he's the one who creates the barrier. He's the one who decides. He's the one who created the waves. He's the one who can stop it. It's not me. It's not of my power. And I thought it was really, really beautiful. So the first of that scripture, what is so interesting is in this whole time right here, this is not this like really like encouraging time from God to be like you can do anything. Like it's not this time where God is talking to his people like, have confidence, be strong, you know, you can do anything. He's actually like admonishing them because they are like trying to do things on their own.
They're rebelling.
They're trying following different gods. They're doing things just actually opposed to him. And so he comes in like and is like God and says, hey, like and he starts out, he says, should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? And then he goes in to say this, I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. And so he's actually saying like stop. Like you're trying to do all this of your own volition. You're trying to figure it out. You're seeking other gods, other ways, other things. But like I'm the one who created all of this.
Yeah.
I'm the one who created the waves
powerful.
And I also created the sand to stop them. And so it's just like this constant reminder, like on my arm.
That's so cool.
Now
I love that.
That one, God's the one who's in charge anyway.
Yeah.
And then two, he's the one who can stop the waves.
Yeah, that's so good. I love it so much. And I remember even that night, I was on Instagram and Hillsong posted like a throwback, remember? And it was them singing like,
yes.
When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. And then even thinking about Psalms 46, where it talks about how even when the ocean crumbles into the heart of the sea, like I will be still and know that you are God. And so in our circumstance at that time, it just felt so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, this feels so chaotic, but I know God that you set a boundary line in the sand that although this can get really wild and you're hearing the waves roar and foam, like it can't pass like the boundary of your love that you've established, which was just so much comfort for us.
Yeah.
So
I think you sent
so
me
cool.
that song in the
I
middle
did.
Of the night.
I did. I was like, look at what just came on Instagram.
Yeah.
And so that was like 3 years before we even got tattoos. So we thought about it for a long time. And then we were like, at the moment's right. And Denmark, this is the best place. It was just so cool.
I think there's another quote that you said at the time, too, that I loved.
Lainey
I
had like, told me that. Okay. Lainey doesn't have a tattoo, but Lainey was like, if I ever got a tattoo, I'd get a wave. And the reason why, she said she heard this quote, and it said, learn to ride the wave that slams you into the rock of ages. And I was like, that is so good. It's like, learn to ride the wave of life that slams you into the rock of ages, because the waves of life are crazy. Like sometimes you're going to be at the top of the wave, like seeing the view, it's going to be gorgeous. And sometimes you're going to be like in the like rubble, you know, like underneath, like can't catch your breath. And I've experienced both of those many times in my life, you know? But learn to ride it until it slams you into the rock of ages, the steadiness of God. And so, the wave means a lot to us, which is really cool. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
Well, I have a couple other tattoos. I have my fearless tattoo. My fearless tattoo is the first tattoo I got, which I think y'all are really surprised that I got a tattoo because
yes.
I remember y'all being like, you were the last kid of ours I thought would ever get a tattoo.
Okay, so I think actually this conversation is so good to have because Sadie was our one that was probably the one that struggled probably the most with this kind of spirit of like judgmentalism.
Would you? Oh, yeah. Okay. Like legalism, being more judgmental. For sure.
But it's
so
because
I have all the compassion for the people who think stuff like that. Because I was like, you got a tattoo, Mom? Like, even though she got like a W, I was like, well, bothered by it. Okay. I was like, whoa, this is a lot.
But I think it came from a spirit of you, like, you wanting to do things right. Like,
yes.
You were always the child that, like, didn't want to disappoint someone, didn't want to, like, do the wrong thing. I always tell the story, and, like, this could be a good mom moment or a bad mom moment. I'm still not. Quite
I'm
sure.
Still questioning this too.
So when Sadie was little, when she was, I can't remember, first grade or second grade, she was like.
It was second grade.
Second grade. Okay.
I remember.
He remembers. So she was so concerned. So back then, the discipline was you had to pull a strip. It was like.
At school, if you got in trouble.
If you got in trouble at school, you pulled a strip. Well, Sadie was so worried. Like, she just did not want to pull a strip. And so every day she'd come home and just, and it became like a stress, like an anxiety within her that, like, she would just die if she had to pull a strip. And so I, as a mom, just felt like she really needs to kind of just get over this so she can live her life and enjoy second grade because it felt
like
it was taking away her enjoyment.
Like, such, like, I had to be, like, perfect.
Yeah.
Like, at school,
really,
like, I did not talk. I had, like, perfect manners. I was, like, I cannot get in trouble. I was so scared of, like, doing the wrong thing.
So I had a conversation with her teacher, and I was, like, you know, like, I really think Sadie needs to just get over this fear. And I think if she pulled a strip, then she would realize that, like, okay, it's okay. Life goes on. I can live through it. So I told her, I was, like, if there's something that she does, even little, it's okay. Pull her strip and, like, so that she kind of, like, gets over this fear. And so, well, I don't know what you
I
did.
Remember.
What did
and
you
I
do?
I was so confused. I stood up to scan my math. You remember how you used to do, like, you bubble in the letters for the math thing and then you scan it? So I was standing up to scan it and another teacher walked in the room and it was like, I didn't even know this was a rule. Maybe, I guess it was, but it was like, if another teacher is in the room, then you need to sit down. Like,
okay.
I guess, I don't even, I guess
I
it's
know.
Like a respect thing. And Miss E-tier, love her so much, so my favorite teacher, but she was like, Sadie, you need to go pull a strip because you were standing up when the teacher was in the room. And I was like, what? I'm like, this is a rule? Like, I didn't even know. Like, of course, I would have obeyed the rule. I would have sat down.
Yes.
I was trying to scan my math. And yes, and then I think I like forgot to put my name on the paper. So I ended up pulling like two strips that year.
No.
And I was like, oh, this is crazy.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it did.
I mean, it did help me work through that because I cried so much. And I remember you comforting me. It's okay. It's okay. You didn't do anything wrong. But I was definitely more judgmental. And I mean.
And I remember when the drug week, red.
I was about to go there
too. Say no to drugs week or whatever. Sadie was like, oh my goodness. So into that week. Red Ribbon Week. And so Willie does not smoke cigars very often at all. But back every once in a while, I'd smoke a cigar. And oh my goodness, Sadie was bothered by that. Did not. Yeah. Felt like he was doing drugs.
I was saving his life when I threw away his cigars. I got in so much trouble. I was like, I'm saving your life. You don't know what it's doing to your lungs. That was me. I was definitely a little judgmental, but I did just really want to do the right thing.
It came wasn't out even like trying to be judgmental.
To do the right thing, and I had a standard to uphold.
That's right.
At school, each year there was a Most Christ-like award, and every day I thought about that. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to be the Most Christ-like.
Yeah.
But that definitely teetered into more of a legalistic mindset than really being like Christ, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a great topic for the topic of tattoos, a great conversation, because I do think this can really teeter on the line of just being legalistic and not really being like Christ.
That's right. And sometimes it can come initially from a spirit of just wanting to do what's right.
Yes.
But anything, Satan can take anything and twist it and turn it, and it can become legalism or judgmentalism when it started as a spirit of
I
want to do the right thing. Yeah. But whenever you take that to the extreme, this is where it ends and leads.
Absolutely. And the irony of me getting tattoos, this is so cool, is that the more I grew in my relationship with Christ and the more I grew spiritually with him in different aspects of my life, the greater desire I actually had to get a tattoo. Mm-hmm. And it was because I wanted that marking of what I had experienced in Christ. For instance, my fearless tattoo. I was so fearful in high school. I mean, truly. I don't think people believe me when I say that, because I'm so not like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you walked through that with me.
Yeah.
I had extreme anxiety, extreme panic attacks, extreme anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it was just really, really crippling, honestly. And I started kind of working through that finally. And I just remember just really taking on that scripture that I have not been given a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. And I was just like, I've not been given a spirit of fear. God has given me with his spirit, power, love, a sound mind. I thought about the verses in Isaiah that you would quote over me: fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I do not have to be afraid. God is with me. Even whenever God said to Joshua, have not community, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, but for the Lord your God is with you. Just realizing I don't have to be afraid because God's with me.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get a fearless tattoo right here because whenever I would get scared and anxious, I would start doing this with my wrist. I don't even know if you remember this,
but I would
do this. This was my go-to anxiety move.
Yeah.
And I would just always do this. And I was like, I want to get a fearless right here because every time I go to do this, I just want to see and be reminded that I can be fearless. And it's not that I'm actually fearless.
Right.
Don't have fear. It's that because of the Lord's presence in my life, I don't have to be afraid.
Yeah.
And it was such a reminder to me. So, and I got it on the inside because it was for me. It wasn't for anybody else to see. It was for me. It was big and clear. And I remember you saying it's bigger than I thought it was going to be. I'm like, I need it to be right in my face.
Yeah.
And then I got live and original, which those are my words. That's my whole thing. My message that God's really put on my heart and on my life, and that's the ministry that I do. And so I think that is really cool. But as I study scripture on this topic, I can see why that was birthed out of a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so let's dive in. We've kind of already referenced a couple times that there's a verse in Leviticus that talks about not getting tattoos. And this verse, we're going to read it so we can all hear it exactly how it says. It's Leviticus 19, and it is the Lord speaking. God's talking to the people, and basically under the umbrella of y'all need to be holy as I am holy.
Mm-hmm.
And how you're going to be holy is by keeping the law. And there is a lot of the law, and there's a lot of things.
I actually looked it up last night. There's 613 laws. 613 in the first five books of the Bible, which are the Torah, which is what was handed to the Jewish people to be holy.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So back before Jesus came, to be holy and to be in the to be in the presence of God, you had to be holy, mm-hmm. which is why they were making so many sacrifices all the time, because they weren't holy. They would mm-hmm. break the law and they'd have to make sacrifices so that they could get back in the presence with God. So let's fast forward just a little bit and tease what's coming. The reason why we don't have to have a law anymore is because Jesus came as the sacrificial lamb for all of us. So mm-hmm. he paid the ultimate sacrifice. So we no longer have to make sacrifices to God and maintain this holiness, because we get to become holy through the blood of Jesus covering our life. So this was pre-Jesus. Mm-hmm. This is, you got to be holy, 613 laws. So Leviticus 19, verse 28, we'll read it exactly what it says. It says, "You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourself. I am the Lord." So right there, people take that, I would say out of context, they just take that verse and they say, "You shall not get tattoos. Mm-hmm. This is the Lord." So period, right? Okay, well, we could take that as period, but let's read the verse before, verse 27. "You shall not round off the hair of your temple or make any edges off your beard." So it basically says, don't cut your hair, mm-hmm. don't cut your beard. Okay, so if you're going to say don't get tattoos and you mm-hmm. shouldn't get tattoos, then also you need to consider that you shouldn't also cut your hair.
Yeah.
Make edges of your beard.
There's one a little bit ahead of that. It says, "Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of materials." So, like, if we check our tags, then
two kinds.
Yeah, then we probably couldn't be wearing what we're wearing today. So,
nope. It also says that if you're going to come into the land and plant any kind of tree for food, then you shall regard its fruit as forbidden. You should wait 3 years before you even eat the fruit. So, we also would need to wait 3 years before we eat any fruit that grows mm-hmm. off the land. Also, a big one is keep the Sabbath holy. So that mm-hmm. would mean on the seventh day of the week, you don't do anything, like at all. So I'm just saying this verse about tattoos is grouped into all of these other laws that it doesn't seem like we keep, mm-hmm. Nor do people even ask you to keep or think about you keeping or judge you for not keeping. You know, yeah. No one says to me when I have a tattoo, but do you keep the Sabbath holy? Do you wait 3 years to eat the fruit? Do you cut your hair? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not even a question. And so it's interesting that we take this one verse and we care so much about it. And that's what makes me think, okay, is this because it's more of a personal thing? Is it a preference mm-hmm. thing? Is it a judgmental thing in our heart? But also, the verse is not even just referencing tattooing yourself like tattoos that we get.
Right.
It's not like you're putting a little heart on your body. That's not what they were doing. Back in this day, why he said you should not make any cuts of your body for the dead or tattoo yourself, it was making reference to these people were getting like cutting themselves, getting tattoos of like dead people and like mm-hmm. gods that are like not real, gods that are not the holy God.
Right.
So God's saying like, don't identify yourself and mark yourself with these idolatry images mm-hmm. that are not me. And
yes.
You know, he doesn't say you can if it's me, but mm-hmm. essentially don't do that. Like, don't mark yourself with something that's not actually your identity.
Yeah. The spirit behind that law was really more about that, this pagan custom of really worshiping the ancestors, worshiping the dead. And so like, it wasn't as much even about that, but it was about cutting your bodies and marking your bodies for the dead. And so that is another layer to that. But I think one thing that, you know, people say like, oh, well, you don't do that, so then we don't do that, you know. So it's not even about that, though, because if it were about that, then it'd be like, oh, well, maybe we should observe all these. Mm-hmm. So then you can go there. Like when you say like, oh, well, then I guess I'm going to have to like learn all these laws and follow those. But that's not the answer either. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not the answer, because we're no longer under the law. And that's really important that we read these scriptures too. This is in Romans. We're going to go to Romans 7. And this is where it talks about us no longer being under the law. So Romans 7, we're going to start in verse 4. And it says, "Likewise, my brother, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has raised you from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God." So basically, this verse is so clear. It says, you died to the law. We're no longer under the law. Now we're raised in the body of Christ and we're raised from the dead because Jesus was raised from the dead. Like I said, we're covered in that sacrifice from Jesus. And now what we're called to do is we're called to bear fruit from God, by bear fruit for God by just being his child. So like us bearing fruit is no longer based on like us keeping the law. Us bearing fruit is bringing people to the Lord, walking in obedience to God. Now, that doesn't mean you dismiss everything from the law. It even goes on to say, then what shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. The law is not sin. It goes on to say there are things in the law, like that's how we learned what sin is, you know, but at the same time, we're free from that condemnation, that bond of the law. And then says this in verse 6, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive. Yeah. And I think that is so huge. Died to that held us captive. Like those things that held us captive that we can't keep. It's an impossible standard. Like God knows we're sinful people.
Well, and if you think back to you in your childhood, like you pulling that strip, that was holding you captive.
It
was. You weren't able to be free in who you were. You weren't able to speak. You, like, your teacher
literally
thought you didn't even talk in school.
I didn't even have a personality.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
and at home, you were so
perfect. And like at home, I was like crazy and so fun.
Yeah,
and
at home, you were so free and fun and all this. But then you were held captive
literally
by the law because you didn't want to break the law. And that's like such a perfect example and visual of how we can live as Christians.
Yeah.
And why people who look at Christians and like, oh, I don't want that.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to be a robot and not speak and try to stay in this box and not step out of this, step across this line, or I might get struck down. Like, people who are outside of Christianity look in at Christians sometimes and see
that's not fun.
See that.
And that's where that, when people say that Christianity isn't fun, that's where that comes from. Because it isn't fun to be held captive.
Yeah.
It is not fun to be held by the law. But it is so fun to be found in the freedom of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Still being obedient to the word of God. Still following the commandments of God as far as, like, you know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And loving your neighbor as self. And not actively trying to sin, you know, repenting of sin and turning to the Lord, but there's freedom in who you are. It says this, so you have been released from the law, and it says, which held us captive, so that we serve in a new way of spirit and not in the old way of written code. So there it is. We're in a new, we're serving in a new way now. We're serving in the spirit and not by the code. And that is such a difference. And that's why, like, if you just read the Old Testament, I mean, you know, you've got to stay for the best part. You got to stay for Jesus. Like, that's where the freedom comes.
Yeah.
I wanted to read also just parts of the Bible that it really, like, Jesus is kind of addressing this legalistic spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus is addressing the Pharisees. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I know you had a verse. Did you want to read that?
Yeah, sure. So Galatians, I think Galatians is a great place to go because it's literally, it's like six chapters and you can read it really quickly. But it's really, Paul is writing to the Galatians really about this one specific thing because they had gotten trapped in this, and he actually calls it like a gospel that I did not preach to you, that did not come from Jesus. It's a different gospel whenever you're trying to live a gospel that is under the law. And so he's like, really, I mean, he speaks of them very harshly because he realizes the harm in this, because the harm in this is denying Jesus' sacrifice.
Whenever
we try to live under the law and we try to say like we have to do it all perfectly, what we're doing is really denying what Jesus did for us and the price that he paid in his sacrifice. And that's not how we get to God. We only get to God through Jesus. And so, so Galatians 3 really talks about this. I thought this was really good. So it says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. So the whole point of the law in the Old Testament was to get us to Christ.
Yeah.
Was to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. And so I thought, you know, that really like sums it up.
That's
exactly
good.
What's saying in Romans 7. So it's, there's, you know, this is a continual theme throughout the New Testament and a continual pull for people to like, oh, let me go back and try to like do it all myself.
Yeah.
And the reminder is like, nope, it's not about you. It's about Jesus and about what he did.
It's good.
And then I thought, okay, here, this is a little bit before that, 3:19. It says, what then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of the transgressions, because we aren't perfect. The law was there because we can't live up to the standard.
Yep.
Until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. So the law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. So the law is not that the law was bad. It did come from God. It came to his people but it came to get them to Christ.
Yes.
Like it was the precursor to Christ. And the law,
the reason why they had so many laws was because God was trying to help them. Like a lot of the laws were like, I read this somewhere where it talks about, you know, in Leviticus 19, it talks about not eating meat with blood in it.
Right.
Well, like now we eat steak. So you could say, well, you can't eat steak if you're also going to abide by the law. But God wasn't saying that to be like, you can't have steak. God was saying that because they didn't have the kind of medicine. They didn't have the kind of things that could have helped them if they got any kind of like disease from that. You know, so a lot of it was God's protection over his people, God's love for his people, God trying to keep his people holy. Like Adam and Eve had already sinned and destroyed the earth. By the time Noah, about 6 chapters into the Bible, God was ready to destroy the whole earth because it was so sinful. So then God created a law to be like, hey, let's stay under this and like things are going to work out, but we can't uphold that. So then God's like, okay, like the only answer is I send my son. The only answer is I send the sacrifice and give y'all an example of what it looks like to live, to live a life honoring to God.
Yeah. That's a super interesting study. Like I love to like, you go and you read this, some of these laws that like the Jewish people knew things that like science didn't catch up on until way later because God gave them that law. And it was to protect them. It was to keep them healthy. Yeah. And like, even if you think about that, like tattooing and marking your body, cutting your body,
like the
disease that could come in, they didn't understand about all those things. So a lot of it was really just for protection to keep them.
Yes. And that's the thing I think you think about sin in a practical sense sometimes too.
Yeah.
Sin leads to death.
That's right.
So sin leads to death, not just spiritually. Sin leads to death physically. Like there's a lot of sin that will literally lead you to death. That's just not good or healthy for your life. And so God's marking of what is sin is, yes, things that are separate from him, but who is God? God is life.
Yeah.
God is love. God is life and life abundantly. That's what he comes to give and bring. So like in a practical sense, what brings life? What brings death? You know? But I love Mark chapter 3 because we get to see Jesus having this encounter with the religious people and when he's trying to do something good. And this is what I want us to think about, you know, for those who have a tendency to be overly religious and who have a tendency to comment really mean things on people's posts, because I'm like, this is what the Pharisees were doing. And Jesus was very, we're going to read in just a minute, did not like what the Pharisees were doing. So in Mark chapter 3, it says, again, he entered the synagogue, which is Jesus, and a man was there with a withered hand. And the Pharisees watched Jesus to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath. So we already talked about this. The Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath holy, which would mean not doing anything on the Sabbath, was part of the law. So the Pharisees, the religious people, are sitting there being like, is he going to do it? Like, is he going to heal on the Sabbath, which would require him to do a work? So it says, so that they might accuse him. So here they are literally watching to see, is he going to do it? Because if he is, then I can accuse him.
Yeah.
And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And then he said, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? Jesus said that. Yeah. So Jesus basically addresses what the Pharisees are thinking. And it says, but they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of hearts, which that's just like right there. Like Jesus, he was angry and he was grieved at their hearts for being so hard that they would literally sit there and wait to accuse Jesus of doing something good because it was against the law.
Yeah.
And Jesus goes on to say to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him on how to destroy him.
Wow.
I mean, like, Jesus literally healed a man and they're like, gotcha. Like, let me go do this. And I can't help but see that in our world today.
Yeah.
With a lot of Christianity. It's like, let me wait till she does one thing that's against the law and then accusation.
Yeah.
Whatever that might look. I have YouTube videos of people saying, don't listen to Sadie Robertson preach because of the littlest things. That they're like, that's wrong. That's off. That's not, that isn't look like the perfect like standard of Christianity, but the perfect standard of Christianity is to be a follower of Christ.
Right.
It's to love God and to love people. It's to make disciples. And so like Jesus was literally grieved at the hardness of their hearts by this behavior.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, I mean, I hate it because a lot of people in the world who aren't Christians, and I've had people directly say this to me, is like, Sadie, Christians are just so rude. That's why people don't like Christians. They're so rude. They're so judgmental. And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, Christian people have been some of the rudest people to me in my ministry is Christian people.
Yeah.
The people that are the most judgmental about what I'm doing have been people in the church.
Right.
Because I'm a woman preaching, because of whatever it is. And so I'm like, I get that.
Yeah.
But I always say to them, but that's not Jesus.
Right.
You see, and actually that spirit, that religious spirit and that Pharisee-like attitude is what Jesus was bothered by too, and what Jesus despised of.
Yeah.
And so when I hear people say that, I'm like, but please don't think that's Jesus, because that bothered Jesus too.
Yeah.
That grieved his heart too. That made him angry too, because that is not his heart.
Yeah. If you look, if you read the Gospels, you will find that Jesus' harshest words were reserved really for the religious people. When he got the most angry, when he really spoke the most harshly, it was because it was people that were, like, you would have looked at the time and said, oh, they're the Christians. They're the religious people. They're the ones that are, like, sacrificing at the temple. Yeah. But they were the ones that Jesus was the most aggravated with because they didn't understand why he had come. They didn't understand the sacrifice that he was making to come and bring them freedom. And they didn't understand what Jesus says is the two greatest commandments, love God and love others, love your neighbor. And he summed up all the law in that right there. I'll never forget whenever you did Dancing with the Stars, someone said to you, well, I guess my girls are going to have to find another role model now, because in their mind you had like disqualified yourself as a role model because you had danced, and you know, because of their judgment about what a Christian is supposed to do. And so it was so sad to me that someone would say that to you, and it was just really crushing. And but it really does, like, it kind of exemplifies like what we do sometimes. We, you know, especially with Instagram or whatever, the social media, it's like we're just scrolling. We're like watching, like, oh, when are they going to have the fall? Or like, when are they going to do something that I can, I can say, I can find the speck of sawdust in their eye and forget about the plank in mine. And so I think, you know, it's an easy place to go to say like, okay, I'm going to watch, and I'm going to like, and I'm going to judge. And then that's going to disqualify them.
From
hearing anything from them or learning anything from them. Yeah.
That is so real. I love that you just brought that up, because I have had somebody directly say, my daughters will have to find a new role model because you've lost it now because I was dancing. Because people don't believe that you should dance as a Christian. I get that comment, by the way, all the time when I post dance videos with Christian. We have the rudest comments about us dancing as Christians, and we're not supposed to dance, which is not even biblical. Like, there's so many verses about dancing.
David danced.
Yes.
Like, so much dancing. Yes.
And it literally says, like, what is it? Like, you have turned my mourning into, like, dancing, like, my sorrows and my joy. Like, that's even biblical. So it's just crazy. But then also I've gotten comments because of my tattoos. I've gotten comments because I'm a woman preaching. I've gotten comments because of the clothes that I wear that people feel like are maybe immodest. And I'm like, you know what? Like, every single person that Jesus chose to use for his kingdom would have been completely disqualified by the church today.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Period. And so, but you're so right. Jesus had the harshest words for the Pharisees. And in Matthew 23, this whole chapter is seven woes to the scribes and Pharisees. And it's like, woe to you for this, woe to you for this. But I want to read this one specifically, because I actually had somebody say to me one time, Sadie, tell me what you think about tattoos, because I got to be honest. And he said, every time I see someone with tattoos, I immediately judge them. And I just think, like, they're whatever, dot, dot, dot. And I was like, well, that's a you problem, my friend. That's a you problem, you know? And so, but this to me is that. And it's chapter 23, verse 25 through 28. And it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you clean the outside of your plate, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence." By the way, this is Jesus saying this. This is red letters.
Yeah.
"You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of your cup and the plate, and the outside may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And I was just like, that verse, outwardly you appear righteous. Mm-hmm. So what would it look like for people to outwardly appear righteous? Would it look like not having tattoos? Mm-hmm. Would it look like being fully covered? Would it look like...
How about praying in public? Which also Jesus was critical of. Yes. Like, be careful that you're not praying so that other people see.
Fasting, but not telling anyone.
And yes, be careful that you're not fasting and trying to look like you had it rough so everybody knows what you're doing. Be careful that you, when you give, let one hand not know what the other hand is doing. Do it quietly. Don't do it publicly, outwardly. Mm-hmm.
Like, even with your language, I just thought about a comment I got one time that someone said, you know, you've lost it, because I said, OMG, I'm so excited for a conference. And they're like, oh my God, did you really just disuse the name of the Lord? Unfollow. Yeah. Like, what does it look like to appear righteous outwardly? But I think when you're inwardly righteous, when you're inwardly,
this is what Jesus is saying.
Like, that's what Jesus said. If you clean the inside, the outside might also be clean.
Yeah.
I just feel like from the heart, like, so the mouth shall speak from the heart. It's the wellspring of life. Everything overflows from the heart. And when you have a fruitful heart, when your heart's bearing fruit, when it's watering the soul of your life, like, fruit is all around you. Like, the goodness of God is all around you. The love and the joy and the peace and the kindness and goodness and mercy and the self-control and all the things.
Yeah.
It's around you. And so... all this to say, it really is about the heart.
It's the
heart. I love how you said Jesus summed up the law by saying, love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Like, this is the new law. Mm-hmm. Now, that does, he does also, there's also say in the Bible, does this mean by the grace that we can just keep on sinning? By no means.
Right.
Like, don't keep on sinning. Mm-hmm. Don't be crazy. Follow the Lord. Like, use wisdom. Ask the Lord for wisdom in what you're doing. And I think that's always a good place to be. John Piper said, you know, ask God if you're going to get a tattoo, is this glorifying you, God? Am I bearing fruit for your name, God? Like, is this a wise choice? And, you know, if you feel peace about it, if you feel like this is in alignment with the gospel of Jesus, in alignment with what I'm trying to do and making disciples for Jesus Christ, then
There's also a scripture, I don't know, I didn't look it up before we came, but it just came to me about, like, you know, if something is a sin to you, if it's against your conscience, don't do it.
Yes.
You know, talking about eating meat or about, because there was a you know, argument at the time about whether or not you could eat meat or do certain things that were part of Jewish custom and where God had opened up to his people. And, you know, it said, if it's against your conscience, don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so if, like, getting a tattoo, it feels against your conscience, like, pray about it. Ask God for wisdom in it. But don't do something that's against your conscience. My grandmother, I remember she didn't get her ears pierced till she was like 70 years old, because whenever she was young, only the bad girls got their ears pierced.
Wow.
Like, that's what she remembered, is like, oh, only the bad girls have their ears pierced. And I think that was something kind of perhaps in our culture for tattoos, like, oh, that's reserved for the bad girls or whatever. And so... But it's such a cultural thing. And eventually she got her ears pierced. I remember she used to wear, she had all these, like, clip-on earrings. But eventually she got her ears pierced because she realized, like, oh, that was a cultural thing. Something that was within my culture and how I grew up. But it's not. It's not a God thing.
That is such a good way to put it. We need to ask yourself, is this a cultural thing or a biblical thing?
Right.
Is it cultural and I don't prefer it? Or is it biblical and God says don't do it? Because there's a big difference. And we can't treat cultural things like biblical things when it's not. Because that's whenever we really set a bad example of who Christ is. Because that isn't who Christ is. We're putting words in the Bible that aren't there. You know? But I love that.
There's also a scripture that came to mind when you mentioned about modesty, and you know, it talks about, but that scripture, a lot of times we use it when we say like, oh, be modest, like make sure you have a lot of clothes on. Mm-hmm. But really that scripture is talking about modest and like, don't put on all this outward adornment, but it actually specifically mentions like a wearing of jewelry, braiding of hair. Mm-hmm. And like, we're both wearing jewelry and we braid our
hair. Have my hair
and you have your hair braided. Yeah. So it, you know, it's kind of like, okay, if we are going by the law, if we are back to the letter of the law, then we have to observe all these things. But the entire New Testament, it just always goes back to, it's the heart.
It's the heart.
It's the heart. It's the heart.
It's good.
And our dependence is not on us doing it perfectly. Our dependence is on Jesus.
It's good. John Piper preached a message a couple years ago that I always think about. And he says, the essence of good and evil is not doing what is right and not doing what is wrong. He said the essence of really good and evil is, the essence of good is like desiring God over anything else. And the essence of evil is choosing the thing that's not the Lord to bring the satisfaction that you want. And we see that in the garden.
Yeah.
It wasn't that she was doing the right thing or the wrong thing. It was that she chose to desire the apple, which was really the knowledge, more than she desired who God was in her life.
Right.
And I think that is so true, especially when you talked about just, if it's a sin to you, then it is, because it's you desiring something other than God.
Right.
Like for me personally, I feel a strong conviction over TV shows that I watch. There's hardly ever TV shows that I ever find I can watch that's not like reality games, like Survivor and American Idol and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like TV shows, now all of y'all watch them, and I don't think that's wrong for y'all to watch them at all. I think it's great. If I could watch them in clear conscience, I probably would, but I can't. I feel convicted. And sometimes I still try to push through and watch it because I want to, because everybody's talking about it, or because I'm interested in the show or interested in the plot. But the minute I feel the spirit be like, this is like, you don't have a clear conscience in this. Like, I'm giving you this conviction for a reason.
Yeah.
I have to be obedient to that.
That's good.
And I just really recently had that with another TV show. I started watching, all my friends were talking about it, and I got a couple episodes in and I just started feeling convicted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, this isn't even bad. Like, I'm fast forwarding through any part that's even bad. Like, I'm not doing anything that's like against my conscience. I mean, like, as far as, you know, on paper, but I had it in my spirit, and like, I have to follow that.
That's
conviction.
Right. I think
but
that's really
I can't
good.
Put that on someone else, because that's not the word of God, but that's the spirit of God living inside of me.
That's good.
And so that's so true. Lastly, just let's end with this, because I just think this is awesome. Revelation 19:16 says this, and this is just food for thought. I mean, this is just really awesome. So, Revelation 19:16, sorry, let us get there. It's talking about Jesus coming back, and it says, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And some people say, Jesus has a tattoo. I don't know if Jesus has a tattoo. I don't know what it looks like to be stamped on his thigh, you know?
The Sharpie marker.
I know. What is it?
What is it?
We don't know. I mean, it makes me think of Will's giant tattoo. Yeah. My brother has a giant Jireh tattoo. Just is another name for God on his thigh. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, regardless of what that is on Jesus' thigh, whether it's an ink tattoo or whatever it is, like, to me, it's like he has written on him, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Yeah. Like this thing written on him to glorify who he is. Mm-hmm. And so I think to me, like all of my tattoos are in alignment with who God is in my life, who God's been in my life. And all of them live to tell the story of that. If anyone were to ask me, what do my tattoos mean? Like I can give glory to God through them. Now, if you've gotten a tattoo that wasn't the greatest choice or decision, it's not sinful. Like, it's not, and if it is, like, if it's, like, against the Lord, maybe you can get it removed, you know?
It's covered by the blood of Jesus.
It's covered by the blood of Jesus. Yeah, like, if you want to get removed, get it removed, but it is covered by the blood of Jesus. If you repent of your sin, if you confess, if you turn to the Lord, then it is forgiven. That's what the word says. And so, y'all, this has been a great study. I just want to say, like, thank y'all for asking the question. Yeah. Thank you for genuinely being curious. It led us to the point of wanting to answer it. Mm-hmm. We're thankful that we have the word that is so packed with truth mm-hmm. that we could go to and root ourselves on a firm foundation in. If you, you know, have any friends or family members who have been really, you know, struggling with this topic, I hope that this can help bring some language to some of the things that y'all been having conversations around. I remember when we started getting tattoos, we had conversations with family members about mm-hmm. our thoughts around that. And so maybe this can help bring some clarity in your family's lives and just scripture behind that. And if you aren't a Christian, like I said, and you're like, I don't know why this is a big deal, but maybe you've learned a lot about who Jesus actually is and his character, then I'm just so grateful for that, because Jesus is greater than religion. Jesus is all about relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm so thankful for him and the sacrifice that he made. So anyways, way to kick off a Monday. Dang, we went in. If y'all have any other topic that y'all want us to cover, we would love to start doing videos like this. I can get mom in here, get some wisdom, and we can cover topics based off of what we've read biblically and spiritually. So if y'all have any topic that you're curious about, that you genuinely have a question about, maybe modesty would probably be a good one to cover, just drop it in the comments below and we'll start studying and get to that. But I hope you have a great Monday, my sisters and friends. Thanks for tuning in.